If you're passionate about sports and looking for a thrill, you need to check out the freshly redesigned XBet. They're calling it the last sports book you'll ever join. I've been playing on XBet, and they really do have it all. Whether odds on basketball, combat sports, or even betting on the next Bitcoin dip. And the best part is, when you win, you get paid quick. But it's not just about placing bets. XBet is a whole experience. They support athletes and sports shows just like ours, and they give back to the community with tons of free bets and cash prize contests. Did I mention they also have a casino now? Spin the slots, play some roulette, or even try your luck at the live tables, all from a mobile platform that lets you enjoy the fun on the go. Whether you're super into sports betting or curious about trying it out, you need a site that makes it fun and easy. That's why you've got to check out XBet. Sign up today using the promo code TOOLSHED and get a generous bonus of up to $1,000 on your first deposit. That's right, promo code TOOLSHED for free cash bonus to kickstart your journey. With so many great UFC cards on the horizon and the fact that baseball season is in full swing, there's never been a better time to play. Make your next bet, XBet.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.
With the Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino.
That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Welcome to the Tool Shed, a podcast covering all aspects of fantasy baseball to help you win all of your fantasy leagues. From the MLB draft all the way to the show, we're here to help give you the edge in your dynasty leagues. Now, here are your hosts, Eric Cross and Chris Clegg.
Welcome into episode 219 of the Tool Shed with Clegg and Cross, powered by the Blue Wire Podcast Network. I'm your host, Eric Cross, and with me, as usual, is my 80 grade co-host, Mr. Chris Clegg. Chris, happy Jordan Westbrook Day.
Yeah, finally. It's about time that happened, but now we just hope that they play him every day. And also, where's Colton Cowser? Like, just bring them up both up together. Like, just go all in, and the Orioles do their thing, and yeah, that'd be great. But, you know, we'll take Westbrook, for sure.
It's like Baltimore and Cincinnati are just, like, duking it out for, like, the most exciting young team in baseball. You know, now it's Cincinnati's turn to counter with Christian Encarnacion Strand, and then Baltimore can counter that with Colton Cowser, and then Cincinnati could counter that with I don't think Noel V will be ready yet, but yeah, these are two fun. Like, I wouldn't be surprised if we had like a Baltimore Cincinnati World Series in the next 5 years or something. Like, so much good young talent on both those teams right now. They're both just like a pitcher or two away. They have some good young pitching, but if they especially Cincinnati, if they can get another, you know, veteran arm or two in there, these would be really some really good teams for a long time. But we're going to be talking about some pitching prospects today. Last episode, we did some hitter debates. We're not doing debates necessarily, but just going through some notable pitchers right now, some guys that we think are undervalued, you know, some recent promotions, guys at the major league level, all pitching prospects, though. But I think we just do one giant pitching prospect discussion here with all of our both of our ranks coming out recently this week or last week, technically, over on my Patreon and Chris's Substack. Go check those out. But before we get into the episode here, the usual housekeeping. You can find us on Twitter, Chris at Roto Clegg. I'm at EricCross04. Shows at Toolshed Pod. If you enjoy the podcast, please rate and review. And again, check out both of our personal platforms, Chris's Substack, my Patreon, for more work from each of us, including all of our prospect dynasty rankings, daily write-ups, and a lot of other fun stuff on each of those platforms as well. Let's start with Yuri Perez, though, Chris. I mean, I think he's the universal. I mean, I don't think anybody can make any case for any other pitching prospect being number one right now, other than Yuri Perez. So I think the real question is, which is something I put out there to the Twitter world today, like, how high is Yuri Perez in terms of dynasty pitching rankings right now? Yeah, he's got to make a, I think, easily top 10 at this point, and I think he makes a strong case for top five. I mean, off the top of my head, the only two that I definitely have ahead of him, like without thinking about it, are Shane and Spencer Strider. After that, I think that's where the discussion begins.
He's been so nasty. I mean, the secondaries have just been insanely good, getting an outrageous amount of whiffs. I mean, he's got a 40% whiff rate on the slider, 60%+ whiff rate on the curve, 50% on the changeup, and the four seems pretty good itself. Doesn't have the high whiff rate, but I mean, he's averaging 97.5 on that miles per hour on that. He gets good extension. Like, the dude's just really, really good. And he's 20 years old, which is absolutely nuts to think about. But yeah, he's the only thing that I hate is that he's probably gonna have his innings capped at some point. But man, I just want to let him go and see what he can do. Like, because this has been absolutely phenomenal. We knew it. Like, we knew he was one of the best pitching prospects in the game, but sometimes pitching prospects come up and don't perform. But that's not been the case with Yuri Perez, who's just been absolutely dominant.
Over his, so today and Sunday start, 6 shutout innings, 9 Ks, whiff and CSW over 40%. Last 6 starts, 33 innings, giving up 1 run. That's a 0.27 ERA, 0.88 whip, 7.1% walk rate, 30.2% K rate. And like, he's not even going to be 21 until next April, which is just insane. So, yeah, so I put the question out there, did a little heat check on Yuri Perez. I always love doing that with like an elite prospect like this is dominating. I did it, you know, I think last week with LED of the Cruz, and I did it week before that with Corbin Carroll. I just want to see where everyone's kind of where they're at with him and how much overreaction or recency bias there is. Yep. So I did it. So I did everybody. I mean, how many polls? I did 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I did 7 polls. And Chris, I want you to guess the percent that Yuri Perez got in each of these polls. Let's start with against Luis Castillo.
So Yuri versus Luis Castillo. Honestly, just knowing Twitter and how it can be, I'd say it's like 70% Yuri.
79%
Yuri. Oh my gosh. Wow. I thought I was being generous.
All right, next one. Yuri versus Framber Valdez.
I'm guessing Yuri probably won like 65-35.
72% Yuri.
Oh, jeez.
What was the next one here? Yuri versus Corbin Burns.
Yuri, 65.
74% Yuri.
Oh, my gosh.
This is fun, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yuri versus Zach Gallen.
Well, let's just stick with the theme. 70% Yuri.
Now, that was actually only 57% Yuri.
Oh, okay.
So we're getting closer here. I think I got 2 more. No, 3 more. All right. Yuri versus Garrett Cole.
I'm guessing Yuri won like 55-45.
63% Yuri.
Oh my gosh.
Okay, that was the last. Oh, there's 2 more. Sorry. Yuri versus Shane McClanahan.
I hope McClanahan won, but I'm guessing he did.
No, he did. He did. That was the last one. He only lost against Shane and Spencer. He got 32% against Spencer, 30% against Shane. So.
So Twitter's telling us that he's INSTSP3 then.
That is correct. Yep. Unless they like somebody else outside of my top 10 more than these guys, but I doubt it. But yeah, the ones I really wanted to see, I had a feeling he'd be behind Shane and Spencer, But the ones I kind of really wanted to see were Garrett and Corbin Burns.
Yeah.
But I know Burns is obviously another kind of meh outing today. Not surprised. But yeah, he's SP3 for Dynasty. I mean, I don't hate it. I mean, like I said, after the top two, this thing, that's where the discussion starts. Like what he's the upside that we all knew he had, the minor league pedigree, the current performance, like it's all there. Like you mentioned the insane whiff rates he's gotten on all of his secondaries so far. He's given up one run in his last six starts as a 20-year-old. And see, who'd he face in these starts? He faced Pittsburgh, Toronto, Seattle, Chicago. Okay, so a couple of dud teams in there, but not a couple of good teams in there too. But regardless, 20 years old doing this, it's absolutely special. So yeah, I think I have him SP five or six right now, but that might even be a little bit high. If he doesn't end a few starts like this, he might be SP3.
I mean,
my next update. Like it's not out of the realm possibility. It's not crazy for sure.
No, this is insane. Like just insane how good he's been. So it's not crazy to think that, he's up there, but man, it just, everything we've seen is legit, but that's a massive jump.
Absolutely is. It's been a really fun year for pitching prospects, and two more that have debuted over the last handful of weeks, both for the Los Angeles Dodgers, Bobby Miller, Emmett Sheehan. I figured we put these two against each other, see kind of where we were on both of them long-term for Dynasty. Miller dominated out of the first few starts. Last few have been a bit rough, but six starts, 4.13 ERA, 1.29 WHIP, 22.5% strikeout rate, 9.5% walk rate. Sheehan has two starts so far. The K's haven't really been there, but the stuff absolutely has. 1.50 ERA and 0.58 WHIP in those two starts. Only 7 K's in 12 innings and a 9.5% walk rate. Which of these guys do you like more long term, Chris? Like they're back to back in terms of pitching prospects in my rankings right now, I think. Maybe someone's in the middle of them, but they're very close regardless. And obviously both are nasty. So which one would you rather hitch your wagon to long term?
I feel like Miller's stuff is just a little better. So while he's had a couple blow ups, like that's the way I'm gonna lean. I love Sheehan, and Sheehan's been really, really good. So it's tough, but when I look at the profiles, when I watch them, Bobby Miller is just pretty insane with what he brings to the table. But you see there's been bumps in the road, and Sheehan's pitched good for his two starts. And Miller was pretty good for up until his two recent. He's been blown up bad in the last two starts. 7 earned against the Giants and 6 earned against the Astros. And those were over 5 2/3 and 4 innings. So all that, even after that, he's still a 4.13 ERA or 4.13 ERA, excuse me. So he was that's how good he was pitching at the beginning. I don't know if this is a league adjusting thing, like what happened, but Miller has like a Garrett Cole-esque arsenal. So like that's kind of why I lean that way, because of the fastball. I mean, he's sitting like 99 on his sinker, which is crazy. 99.5 on his four seam. So that's obviously what you want to see. Slider is listing a ton of swing and miss. So is the changeup and the curveball. And he mixes 5 pitches like pretty evenly. Like he's sinker leading the way, but then he's got he's like a true 5 pitch mix. Like all 5 pitches above 10%, which is what I like to see out of an arm. And that's Bobby Miller doing that. Now Sheehan, on the other hand, has a really good fastball as well. A lot of bore at the top of the zone. He sits 95, 96, but he hasn't got whiffs, which is interesting. I do think the stuff is better than what the whiffs have suggested so far. And on the flip side, like he's been really good in both his starts too. And I was nervous. He faced the Giants and the Astros, who Miller struggled with, and Sheehan pitched fine against both. Now I was nervous about his start against the Astros. I didn't want to start him, but he pitched fine outside of the K's. So both kind of have some command like on and off. Sheehan's has improved a good bit this year. He's throwing a lot more strikes. Miller, we've seen have the high walk rates before, but at the end of the day, like I'll bank on the guy with the truly elite stuff, and Miller has that, and Sheehan's is pretty dang good too, but at the end of the day, like I'm going to hitch my wagon and say Miller is the better arm, but it wouldn't surprise me at all if Sheehan ends up being pretty good himself.
Yep, I definitely agree with that. I feel a little bit safer about Miller as opposed to Sheehan. They're both very good arms, both potential, you know, number two starter type guys. And that's very high praise right there. You know, Dodgers seem to grow these guys on trees right now. But yeah, Miller is my number five pitching prospect right now. And Sheehan is at seven with Taj Bradley sandwiched right in the middle. I guess my full top 10 right now is Yuri, the gap, Painter, Tiedemann, Williams, Miller's at five, Bradley six, Sheehan seven, Smith Shaver. Is that a tongue twister for you as well? Like, you ever get that one?
I feel AJ like if I said it five times in a row, yeah, I definitely botched
Smith,
that.
Yeah, Smith Shaver is number eight, Bryce Miller nine, Bibby actually just graduated, or Bibby, excuse me, and so Cade Horton's my 10, and then Tin Can's right behind that at 11, so... Most of you guys have debuted, so in my top 10, numbers 1 and then 4 through 9 have all debuted, so that's pretty fun. We could see, Gavin Williams coming up too, so 1 and 4 through 9. So, yeah, 7 of my top 10 have already debuted. Painter and Tiedemann obviously on the cusp, and Horton probably next year. So, yeah, been a very fun year for pitching prospects, and probably not done in that regard either. Next on the list here, this guy's not technically a pitching prospect anymore, but figured it'd be still be good to talk of him at least a little bit here. Grayson Rodriguez, obviously, you know, when Chris was talking about, you know, not every top pitching prospect comes up and does well. I mean, that's just Grayson. That's Grayson Rodriguez was kind of like the person that I don't think you were talking about G-Rod, but you basically could have been talking about G-Rod with how he looked earlier this year, ERA above 7, but looking much better in AAA since he got sent back down. Are you looking to buy low on Rodriguez right now, Chris?
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, there was basically like Grayson Rodriguez needed to tweak a couple things. And it was one, his release point had changed a bit since his elite days. And the stuff has been down since he returned from injury. So obviously like that was a concern in itself. And we saw the results of the poor stuff this year in the majors, and he really struggled. But you know, since he has been sent down, like, he's been performing really well overall. He had his last start was fine. I mean, he allowed one earned over 4 1/3, had 3 walks and 4 Ks, but the previous two starts he had 11 strikeouts and 10 strikeouts in those outings. I've tried to, like, the issue with the AAA is like the illustrator, like, is only game by game. So I've tried to like look at his release points and see if there's been a difference. And it's hard to tell, like, obviously game by game, but I think that he needed confidence back, and two, he just needs to work through some things. You know, we saw him get plenty of strikeouts, like at the majors. That wasn't an issue at all. He was walking more batters than we expected, and the stuff was just way down. So overall, like, I think it's a good time to buy. I'd be in on doing that because I think that he just didn't forget how to pitch. And, you know, sometimes guys take a little longer to return from injury. So maybe he's still working through some things. And yeah, the injuries can mess up things like release point too. And he's just became accustomed to where he was releasing it and didn't even realize it. That stuff happens pretty regularly. So I think that Grayson Rodriguez will rebound and be completely fine, honestly. Maybe he's not an ace, but I still think he'd be a solid number two.
And I honestly think that ace is, you know, the outcome is still there. I really do. And yeah, it could be more of a number two. I think that's, he's not as definitive of an ace as he once was. But yeah, definitely, like, you're seeing him get back to the old Grayson Rodriguez, like the pre-injury G-Rod that was the number one pitching prospect nearly universally. And obviously, Yuri's past him now. But if he was still a pitching prospect, Chris, where would you have him? I'd still have him at two, just ahead or right in that same range, that tier with the Painter, Tiedemann, and Gavin Williams, but I'd still have him at number two. Where would you have him?
Yeah, I think he'd be at the back end of the first tier. Like, I wouldn't drop him in tier two, but like, I'd have Yuri, I have Bobby Miller in that tier, Painter and Gavin Williams. So probably in the back of that tier. So he'd be in like the 3 to 5 range, most likely.
Okay. Yeah, that's a pretty good tier right there. So being in the back end of that's no slight to him. But yeah, I'm still very much in on him. Yeah, I'm still very much a believer in the Rodriguez I saw back in 2021. So, or was that 2022? When did I see him? I forget at this point. When I saw him in AA, whenever that was. But I think it was 2021. But yeah, still very much a believer. Like, the stuff is there. He's starting to look better, get back to that like I said, back to the Giro we saw, if he just keep the walk rate in check, you know, he walked 3 and 4 1/3 last time out, but before that, just 3 walks combined and 2 starts that he had also 21 strikeouts. So yeah, he's starting to look better. So we'll probably see him back up, you know, at some point later this season, and hopefully he can get back to ascending up dynasty rankings as he was before the injury and before the, you know, poor performance earlier this year with Baltimore. The next one that's been, I think there's a wide range of thoughts on this guy and rankings on this guy. That's Kyle Harrison from the San Francisco Giants. Obviously, you know, some of the best stuff in all of the minor leagues. Like, I don't think that's anybody can question that. And he's 21. He'll be 22 in about a month and a half. So he'll play most of the season at age 21. He's up in AAA, you know, after just, let's see, only 25 starts combined in high A and double A. So he's moved pretty quickly through that Giants org. This year, 4.53 ERA in 15 starts. You know, he has looked better of late. You know, the ERA is coming down over the last, you know, last month or even 5 weeks or so, but the walk rate is just still astronomically high, and it's at 17.5% right now. He is striking out plenty of batters like he always has, 36.8% strikeout right there. But I don't know, Chris, like, it's almost feeling like he's the DL Hall of the National League, right? Like, elite stuff, potential frontline stuff, but just has not been able to show consistently that he can harness that stuff and command his pitches well. So if it comes to buy or sell, I mean, maybe I hold on for now, wait till he debuts, you know, use that, all that hype and all that buzz to maybe sell then. I still think you can get a pretty good reward or return, excuse me, for him. But I don't know, man. Like, the walk rate for me is just very scary right now.
Yeah, and it's not like it's really improved.
No, it's gotten worse.
Like, right. You know, he's like, you look and, you know, his walk rate on the season, 17.5. But then you, let's say you go to like the last like 40 days, it's still like 13%. So like, yeah, could you say it's improved? Yeah, but it's not like, it's still in a scary territory. The good thing is the Ks are there. He's been striking out more recently. The interesting thing for me is like the slider's not getting a ton of whiffs, which is like the slider's a really good pitch. Like, his fastball slider combo is good. He is a 2-pitch guy. I mean, he's going to mix in the changeup every now and then, but he's throwing it 5% of the time this year. So it's not like it's used that often. And right, the swing strike on his changeup's 11.5%, which, you know, you want to see that much higher on the slider. I don't know. Like, he doesn't throw enough strikes with it. That's another big thing. He's throwing the slider for strikes like 52% of the time. That's a little discouraging. He's not getting the chases out of the zone. So like, there's some issues, like, especially with that. And sometimes, like, I've watched a lot of Kyle Harrison this year, and the fastball, he's locating it like too high. Like, he's not even getting close to the zone to like get the swing and miss. So at the end of the day, like, he's got to throw more strikes. He's a 57.5% strike rate right now, which just isn't, that's like not a starter. A starter needs to be 60 plus, 63 plus, like, I think. So we'll say like 62.5 is like a threshold that he needs to get to, and he's not there. So like, that's a little discouraging to me when I see that. And I don't know, like, I hope that he comes around because the stuff is good. Like, you watch him and it's like, okay, like, I can buy into this. But then it's just like, where's the command at? And that probably is going to hinder him his entire career.
Probably, yeah. It's like we both said, it has not gotten better. And that's what I was kind of saying about DL Hall. Like, if he was showing some strides and some improvements in that regard, I could buy in a little bit more. And I still think he can be a good arm, even with a higher K walk rate. But I mean, best case scenario, we're probably looking like a Robbie Ray type, guy that'll get you a lot of strikeouts, higher walk rates for the most part. So the ERA and WHIP might not be as great as you want to see. But then we've seen the floor come out with Robbie Ray at times. So, yeah, it's, I don't know. He's not one that I look to, like, 10% you can get by. Like, 10%, if you have great stuff, 10%, you know, it's okay. But once you get like that, for me, that 12% and higher kind of threshold is where I start getting really concerned and start getting less and less interested in investing in these guys in dynasty leagues, regardless of the stuff. That's something I had to teach myself over the years. Is that, yeah, these guys might be the sexy arms to own. It's almost like the same thing with like this big power speed blend hitters, that don't have the greatest hit tool. You know, it's kind of the similar mold there, guys that often don't work out, at least not to the degree that we hope them to. So yeah, I'm more in the sell camp than buy right now. Hopefully he can get it going, and San Fran's a pretty good player development organization, but it's not trending in the right way, that's for sure. Especially another guy that's not trending in the right way, another guy that's also not a prospect technically right now, but we want to include him here because he was a pretty highly thought of prospect, but just has not been getting it done at the major league level, and that is Matthew Liberatore, who is struggling even more so than he was last year. And he was pretty bad last year. Then he went back down to AAA, looked pretty good, AAA for the most part, but then came back up to St. Louis, and this has not been good. Today was kind of a weird start, 2 1/3, 4 hits, 4 runs, none of them earned, though, 2 walks and 3 strikeouts. Now he's sitting at a 5.60 ERA through 27 1/3 innings, but, you know, just getting hit around way too hard, not missing bats at all. Whiff rate right now is 18.7%, not getting anybody to chase, 22.6% there, 91% zone contact rate, you know, giving up too much hard contact, 12% barrel rate there. It's just 10.3% walk rate. XERA is even higher than the service ERA by about a run and a half. Not a lot to like here. Even like the curveball hasn't even been that. It's been okay. It's 167 batting average against, 33% whiff rate. But outside of that, the fastball, once again, getting hammered. It's almost like deja vu here, what he was like last year. So you got to wonder, you know, is he ever going to figure it out? You think he can, Chris? Is he a guy that you would want to buy low right now in Dynasty Leagues?
I don't think so, because he's basically thrown back every bit of velocity gains that he had. And that's really the big thing, is that his velocity was way up in the spring, which made him interesting. He's performing well. And then early in AAA, he was performing really well because the velo was like, he was sitting 95, 96. And all that's just been kind of thrown back, and the velocity's ticked down all year. And you look, and pretty much every start is ticked down. Like in his first couple of major league starts, he's sitting 95.8, 95.6, like right around there. And then you go down 95.2, 93.6, 93.2, 92.4. Like, those are major red flags. Yeah. And it shows you, like, I think the gains were legit when the velo was up, but you just see the trend of where his fastball's gone. And I think that kind of tells you everything you need to know, because ultimately, I'm afraid that his gains have just been completely thrown back at this point.
Yeah, that's a fair question to ask. And it's not like there's not even like anything encouraging in the profile. Like, oh, if he tweaks that, you know, he could take off. Like, there's a lot of red flags here. Command has not been great either, especially the fastball over the heart too much. Curveball, he's been hanging. It's kind of peculiar that the numbers have actually been as good as they have been on the curveball, because he's hanging it, putting it over the heart of the plate way too often. A lot of red there in the heart. So yeah, he's just not one looking to invest in. And I was hesitant to, even back when he was pitching well in AAA, but yeah, this is not an arm that I want to invest in whatsoever right now. But two that I am looking to invest in before their prices probably skyrocket, both very exciting young arms that returned from injury recently, Dylan Lesko for the Padres and Jackson Jobe for the Detroit Tigers. Which one of these two guys are you higher on long-term, Chris? I think they're both in similar spots in the rankings. You know, I think I have them both, I think 125 to 150 or so. And obviously, there's a lot of breakout appeal. Like, these are potential top 10 pitching prospects. If you were to invest in one right now, which one would it be? Or are you just equally as high on both?
Well, I like both, but I actually think the one to invest in is Jobe, based on what I've seen in his rehab outings, because the velo has been way up and looked really good. I mean, he's sitting 97, touching like 98.5. And that's very encouraging coming back from injury. It gives me a little more confidence in him. He's mixing more pitches. He's even throwing a cutter, which is great. Like, he was kind of built as just like a fastball slider guy in the draft, and both being really good. Like, he was very raw. Like, he played shortstop, big spin rate guy. He still has to learn how to pitch. And unfortunately, like, injuries have kind of plagued him some. Like, so the development time has not really been there to a full extent. So I'm willing to give Job a chance. Lesko's amazing. Lesko's changeup is gold, maybe one of the better changeups in the minors already. I read that his velo was around 95 in his first appearance out. He got hit around, whatever, don't care. First outing back from Tommy John's irrelevant. Just want to see him pitching, man. That's the biggest thing. Yep. But Job's stuff, like, my fear with Lesko is, like, you look at the changeup, and he's got a solid fastball, solid slider as well, but...
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Like, somebody that has as good of a changeup as he does can rely on it too much, aka Gavin Stone. And we've seen how that goes. So, like, Lesko has a better fastball, in my opinion, than Stone. So we'll see how he mixes his pitches, but Job stuff's absolutely insane. And so I think I'm willing to bet on that across the board. And I've had some analysts and scouts tell me that they really, really, really buy Job, think he could be a top five pitching prospect. So I'm in on that.
No, absolutely. I think they both could be top five pitching prospects. Like, everything pans out for each of these guys. I think that's what you're looking at here. So that's why I'm looking to invest in both these guys right now. But yeah, I do lean Job as well. I think there's a more well-rounded arsenal here. Both are fairly polished for their age compared to others that are, you know, 19, 20 years old. So I think they're, you know, if there is a safe arm, I'm not saying they're safe, but I feel more confident about them than I do most other arms their age. Both have shown pretty solid command and control for their age. And yeah, that change up for Lesko, it's absolutely filthy. You know, really good fastball as well, showing the makings of a decent breaking ball. See if he can develop that. And then Jackson Job, though, like, the slider is absolutely filthy. You know, pretty good, obviously really good fastball, good changeup as well. So yeah, I'm investing in both, honestly. But if I had to pick one, I would lean Job as well. But have you looked at Dylan Lesko's profile, or his, I guess, headshot, Chris?
No.
He looks like a dad. Like, he looks like some, like, mid-30s dad that's just cracking dad jokes. I don't know why. He has, like, this, like, dad look about him. And he's only, is he even 20? He's not even 20 yet, is he? No, he'll be 20 in about 2 months. But yeah, he's rocking the stash, got the longer hair on the back, and just looks like a dad that's barbecuing, cracking dad jokes. But both very exciting arms for sure. All right, let's go over to our favorite. We have a little segment here for our favorite pitching prospects below double A. We will give two each there, and then we will also give two each undervalued pitching prospects to target in dynasty leagues right now as well. So, Chris, who is your first favorite pitching prospect below double A right now?
A lot. It was tough because a lot of my top guys are double A or higher. So this was my top ranked outside of double A. It's Cade Horton, the Cubs, who has just looked insanely dominant this year. Highly impressive in pretty much all aspects. I mean, considering, again, like, we're talking, like, talked about Joe being a two-way guy. Like, Horton was a two-way guy plus a college football player at Oklahoma. And then has Tommy John. He comes back. He gives up shortstop. And he doesn't pitch much at all last year, but had a dominant College World Series, which vaulted him up. And he's completely looked the part this year. I mean, the fastball's been as good as you'd expect, as you read about. The slider is absolutely dominant as well. And I just really believe in Cade Horton and what he brings to the table. He's moved way up my rankings. He's a borderline top 50 overall prospect. Really, really good. I mean, he's looked good against some strong batters. He's touching 98, sitting consistently like 96. He's getting whiffs on all his pitches, including the slider. He's throwing the changeup more, which is encouraging. Like, obviously, that was going to be a big sticking point because we knew that he had a good fastball-slider combo. But his changeups look good, too. throwing it, especially against lefties. Like watching him strike out Jackson Merrill right now, looked really good. He apparently changed his grip on his changeup at some point this year, and it's really paid dividends. So Cade Horton, to me, looks like he could continue to vault up and just be really, really solid across the board. And I think he's just a bit underrated. So it's going to catch up, but I think that Cade Horton is probably a top. Let me see where I'm ranked. He's right around top 10. I think he might be top 10 for me.
He's 10 on the dot. Not now that Bybee has graduated, he's 10 on the dot for me.
Yeah, he's 10 on the dot for me as well. That's funny. But yeah, he's 52 overall, so he's almost inside my top 50. Say definitely a buy. The arrow's shooting straight up with Cade Horton.
Oh, absolutely it is. And yeah, he's 64 overall for me. But I mean, this he could be a top five pitching prospect within like a few months, because we, you know, Yuri's going to graduate within the next, you know, what, month or so, maybe even less than that. So we'll still have Painter, Tiedemann. You know, Williams will probably still be a prospect at this point in time. I'm going to assume, you know, Bradley is, I think, about to graduate his next start, so we'll take him off the list. I'm assuming, let's say, you know, Miller and Sheehan also, and Smith-Shever also graduate, and Bryce Miller. So yeah, that put Horton four. But at that point in time, we got to factor in Paul Skeens. And, you know, maybe like Hurston Waldrop. I don't know if he'll be top five, but he'll be, you know, top 10 pitching prospect probably. But yeah, so add in Paul Skeens, and that still puts Horton at five, unless somebody else kind of jumps up ahead of him. But don't really see that. Oh, maybe, but yeah, could be top five before, you know, next month or two. So absolutely love Cade Horton as well. He's just been really good all season. There's no doubt about it. My first one, Brock Porter, who I'm surprised doesn't get more love. I mean, he gets love in dynasty leagues and prospect circles, but I wonder why it's not higher. I mean, he's still working through some command and control issues right now, but hey, he's 20 years old, didn't even pitch in any rookie level at all, went right to low A. And Texas usually is a little more aggressive, at least in their initial, where they put these prospects initially, that not necessarily as they advance up levels, but you know, with their initial assignments, you know, they did that with Jack Leiter in Double A last year, and Brock Porter going right to low A, the Carolina League, and 12 starts down there. He's been pretty damn good. 37 innings, 170 ERA, 119 whip, striking out 33.3% of batters, but he's also walking a bit too much. Again, that's the issue he has here. Currently has a 15.1% walk rate, so that'll need to come down, but you know, the stuff is really good. I'm really kind of digging, and they haven't really fixed Jack Leiter yet, but I think Texas is a pretty decent player development organization right now. You know, and Porter is, you know, a high upside arm, legit four pitch mix, fastball, really good changeup. You know, he can throw two distinct breaking balls as well. So we could be looking at four above average to plus offerings here. Just needs to get the command and control in check, but the upside is like a high-end number two. I'm not going to say ace with him. Again, I don't like using that term very often, but I can definitely see a number two starter here. Like, I think he has the most upside of any pitching prospect in that organization. Would you agree with that, Chris?
Yeah, I think that's fair. I mean, he's been incredible to watch, so I can't deny that at all.
I mean, Owen White's probably the safest of all their top arms, but I think he even has a tick more upside than Jack Leiter, than Kumar Rocker, obviously, who's hurt right now and will miss the next year or so. But yeah, Brock Porter, super high upside. Obviously, he was potentially a first-round pick, had some signability concerns, fell to the fourth, but Texas got it done. And so kudos to them, because they have a really good arm here in Brock Porter. So I would be looking to grab him wherever I can in dynasty leagues. Who's your next guy, Chris?
So I'm going with Noah Schultz, Chicago White Sox. And he just debuted fairly recently because of a flexor strain issue. He appears to have put that behind him and has been fine. He was scratched from a start yesterday, but it was just an illness, so it wasn't anything injury related, which is good, because you obviously worry when a guy's been injured, comes back, and then gets scratched. Like, highly concerning. But he's only thrown 7 innings, 3 games so far. 2 innings in his first start, 2, and then 3 again. But 7 innings so far, 12 Ks, only 1 walk, 1 hit, 0 earned runs. So the stuff is just stupid good with Noah Schultz. I got some feedback that some people think that he's already the top left-handed pitching prospect in baseball. Like, kind of wild, but the stuff is certainly there. Like, he's going to have to perform, but he's got the stuff that you watch and it's like, okay, like, yeah, I can definitely get in on this. Looking at a 95, 96 mile an hour fastball out of a funky release like slot. He's 6'9" and he's almost a Chris Sale-esque arm slot. And he just completely keeps batters on their toes with his fastball just because the arm slot's funky. It's hard to pick up whether he's throwing a fastball or a slider. It's insanely nasty. And they tunnel well, but one could be a 96 mile an hour fastball. The next is a low 80 slider. It's just like so goofy to watch him pitch with how big he is, the arm slot, all that stuff. But at the end of the day, like, he's going to have to perform this. I've already put him close to top 100 just from watching the starts. Like, a pitcher I can get a pretty good grasp on, I feel like, pretty quickly. But you obviously want to see him healthy and you want to see him perform. So Schultz is just pitching in single A right now. But again, he's a prep guy last year. He is a little older. He's 19 in 10 months. He'll be 20 in August. So he's a little older for last year's draft, but he was a first-round pick. So he had the pedigree. I don't know. Like, I'm just looking at the stuff and betting that it's going to play. And scouts really love him too. So, you know, I'm kind of in on this profile and thinking that he could be one that just really, really takes off. So I'd probably get in on him fairly early.
Yeah. Absolutely, the stuff is phenomenal, and I didn't go high enough on him in my last update, so I'll definitely be bumping him up next update a pretty solid amount. But so that's really interesting to hear, though, that some people already think he's a top lefty pitching prospect in baseball. Like, in this world, did Ricky Tiedemann die or something? Did I miss something?
Maybe.
I mean, after that, I was just looking, going down through my rankings, and yeah, after Tiedemann, there's like a long list of righties. Abbott is going to graduate soon. And you got Harrison, righty. There's a lot of righties. So I can see him getting up there. But yeah, he's one of those guys where it's hard, even back when we were doing FYP rankings, Chris, I remember, at least for me, like, he was a hard one to rank. Obviously, the prep arm, you were enamored with the size and the stuff and the upside, but it's just so hard to rank those guys for FYP purposes. So he was a hard one for me to rank back then. But you know, the upside absolutely is there, so I can't go wrong with going after some Noah Schultz. I think his value is pretty tamed right now, Chris. Like, I don't think it's going to cost you a whole lot to get him. No. So it's one of those kind of low risk, high upside, like, you know, trades or acquisitions that could really, you know, pay big dividends on the road. So all about those types. My next guy here, Chase Petty from Cincinnati. 20 years old in high A right now. And, you know, he's just absolutely dominating. He's pitching right around like 4-inning stints or so. He's actually averaging exactly 4 innings per start right now. But in those 7 starts for high A Dayton, which he actually had 7 starts last year in high A Dayton as a 19-year-old. So you got to figure maybe he gets a taste of double A later in the year. We'll see. But 1.29 ERA, 0.93 whip, strikeout rate sitting at 29.2%. But I think the most important thing here, the thing that I'm actually most impressed by, because we knew he had the stuff. Like, he was, you know, a data darling, analytical darling back when he was drafted a couple of years ago in 2021. But he's only walked 5 batters in 28 innings, 4.7% walk rate. Like, that is very encouraging to see. And not that there was necessarily command and control issues that he had, but just to see a kid this young at the level he's at with the stuff that he has, you know, limiting the walks as well as he is, that is very, very encouraging, you know. And the stuff, as I mentioned, it's absolutely electric. We're looking at, you know, potential 3+ pitches here, fastball, slider, changeup. And at this point, you know, from everything I've seen, he's showing above average command and control as well. So this is a guy that, you know, in a few years, obviously, let's assume that Lodolo comes back, gets healthy, pitches the way where we think he could be. Same with Hunter Green, Andrew Abbott. Man, add in Chase Petty to that. That's a very, you know, exciting young pitching core. Everyone talks about all the hitters they have there in Cincinnati with Ellie and McLean and Encarnacion Strand coming up and Noelvi, etc. I mean, they're going to have a really good young pitching staff in a few years as well. I already do, but adding another guy like Chase Petty to him. And again, he's another one, you know, like with Noah Schultz, I think the perceived value is a bit higher on Petty right now than it is Schultz, but it's still at a pretty reasonable range where you can go out and get him and not break the bank to get him. So yeah, Chase Petty is definitely an arm I'm looking to go and get wherever I can in dynasty leagues right now.
I was going to mention, it's interesting that, you know, you remember he was in the draft, like throwing 100, like that's what he was known for. And now he's right. Like 92, 94. And everybody's like, well, what happened? And it's literally just, he's being a pitcher. Like he was just throwing 100 now. And like he's pitching, he can command 92 to 94 and it works. So, you know, he doesn't need to throw 100 to be successful. And I got a lot of questions about that. Like I put out some film of him the other day and everybody's like, well, why is he throwing this and not 100 like he was? And it's just literally, he's just becoming a pitcher. Like he's learning how to pitch.
Yep. And I would take this any day because, you know, at this point, like he's still, you know, year and a half, 2 years away from, you know, debuting probably. So who's to say that he doesn't start adding a bit more velocity now that he's gotten comfortable commanding this? Maybe he, as we know, it's in there. We know that he can, you know, tick up if he wants to. So maybe, you know, he's that velocity starts ticking up over the next, you know, few months or over the next year or two. And maybe time he debuts, he's doing this, but at 95, 96, 97. Now, that's a really, really fun future to think about with Chase Petty. A very good pitcher, high upside, very high on him right now. All right, let's finish off the show with two undervalued names to target in dynasty leagues. It's funny. Chris put two Red Sox pitching prospects. I put two Diamondbacks pitching prospects. So take it away, Chris. Who's your first one?
This one's one I just watched today. He made his full season debut, and that's Donnie Monegro. He was absolutely insane. He, again, made his full season debut in Salem, threw five innings, two hits, no walks, no earned, struck out 11. Just absolutely dominant, 17 whiffs, 50% CSW, threw a ton of strikes. Fastball was sitting 95 up to 97. He has a 12-6 curve, which I don't have any data on, but I would guess it dropped 60 inches just on most of them, like sitting 78 to 80. He throws a changeup in the upper 80s, mixed in a slider. The dude is insane. And yeah, this is a guy I had my eye on at the complex. He was pitching very well. And then I was fortunate to sit with a pretty prominent person in the Red Sox org last Sunday, actually, at a game in Greenville. And we were talking about arms, and he told me that Monegro was the one. He's like, he's going to be the one to watch. And so I was like, okay. And I already knew, like, I've been on the complex numbers. And then he gets promoted. I'm like, sweet, we'll actually get to see him now in Salem. And it definitely paid off. Like, it was one of the probably the best, like, full season debut pitching performances I've seen in some time. Because I just watched that whole start today because I was intrigued by him. And he impressed as much as the stat line suggests. So I instantly, like, watching him, and I'm like, okay, like he looks like a top 200 pitching prospect. Like, and with pitching prospects, I'd say it's easier to judge. I'd say top 200 overall prospect. Like, I think you can watch pitchers. Like, if you watch a full start, like you can get a pretty good grasp of what a pitcher brings to the table. And so, like, I feel pretty good about sliding him that high already because of the feedback that I was already told, plus just the watching today, the velo, the whiffs, like all that stuff is just insane. So Monegro is certainly one that could be moving up pretty quickly. He is 20, so that's something. He's 20 years old, was at the complex. Now he's 20 in single A, so he could be a quick mover, but he is certainly one that I'd be keeping a close eye on because he certainly caught my eye today. I was highly, highly impressed.
Yeah, it's nice to see some nice, you know, exciting young pitching talent in this Red Sox org because obviously Bayo up in the majors right now and kind of all the other guys that were up in that same, you know, ETA range with him, you know, the Chris Murphys or Brandon Walters haven't really panned out and haven't really done much at the major league level. And Walters struggling mightily in AAA this year. So it's nice to see some good young talent. And Chris will talk about one more in a minute here, but before he does, I will go over to the D-backs and some Yumin Lin here. He's a guy I've written up a couple of times so far this year over in my daily prospect notes on my Patreon. Guy that's been basically almost every start, been a guy that's been included in my, you know, daily, the top prospect stat tweets that I do. And he's just been absolutely, you know, dominant down there in high A, 19 years old, pitching in the, you know, for high A Hillsboro. in 11 starts. We're looking at a 2.96 ERA, 1.09 WHIP. He's straight walk rate's about 9% right now, and the K rate is 33.3%. Striking out one out of every three batters he's faced. Again, as a 19-year-old, you know, and the hype on him hasn't really gotten to a point where it probably should yet, because he's doing what he's doing right now. And the stuff is pretty solid. It's not, you know, Chase Petty stuff, it's not Jackson Job stuff. But we're looking at a legit four-pitch mix here. You know, slider and changeup are both very, very good. I'll mix in the curveball as well. Fastball, I've seen various, you know, grades given to it. But just from the video I've seen and given the command and control he has of the pitch, I'm willing to say it's a potential above average pitch. And maybe there's even more room for growth on his frame. He's listed at 5'11", 160. I think he's a little bit bigger than 160, and maybe even six foot or 6'1". It's hard to tell. But regardless, there's still some, you know, projection left on that frame. So you could probably get another tick or two of velocity out of him. He'll be turning 20 here in a few weeks, mid-July, on July 12th. But looking at the side, maybe he's not, you know, a top two rotation guy, but I can see a very good number three. Guy gives you good ratios, can give you a pretty solid K rate, maybe a 25, 26, 27% K rate guy. And the guy that, you know, keeps the walk rate in check as well. He's showing above average or, you know, command and control at least, maybe plus. You know, control has been above average as well. So a lot to like here, and a fairly high floor for a 19-year-old pitching prospect compared to others his age. So definitely getting all the Yumin Lin stock I can, because the price tag is still very, very low. And depending on how many prospects your league rosters, this could be a guy that you can go out and pick up off the waiver wire right now. So he's a top 200 prospect for me at this point, and steadily climbing almost, you know, every week or every month that I update my ranking. So go out and get Yumin Lin. Chris, who's your last guy from Boston?
That's Luis Perales, who I think is the best arm in the system. And I don't know, Manigro could be challenging that, but it's again, small sample. But Perales is actually younger than Manigro. He just turned 20 in April. I called a start of his when they were in Colombia a couple weeks ago, and the fastball is just insane. Like, it's 95, 96 with just 16, 18 inches of induced vertical break. Like, it's gets the ride that you just, when you watch a fastball, like, you just, you see it. Like, he's so good. Gets whiffs at the top of the zone. And he's been just stellar recently. And over his last seven starts since May, 2.87 ERA and 31 innings, 44 Ks and 10 walks. Everybody was kind of concerned about the walks, but the walks have trended downward tremendously, actually. And his last three starts has been 5 innings, no walk, 6 innings, 1 walk, 5 2/3, 1 walk. So that's a major encouragement too. And the strikeouts are also trending up while the walk rate is trending down. So obviously things you like to see from him. He mixes in a slider as well. Throws a changeup kind of sparingly, but it is a solid pitch as well. So Luis Perales is, I think he's a special arm, and I don't think we'll see him much longer in single A. He'll be up my way before long. And I would just get all in on this guy because he's the real deal. And I think if you're looking at his overall stat line, then you're not going to be too encouraged, because the beginning of the year, he had a couple rough starts. But after that, man, he has just really gotten it going, throwing a ton of strikes. The changeup is, I wasn't mentioning, I don't think I said the velo on that, was 87 to 89 in the start I saw him, through the curve at 80 to 82. So yeah, fastball is just a special pitch, man. He got so many whiffs at the top of the zone with the fastball, made guys look absolutely silly. So I'd be getting in on Luis Perales if you could right now.
Music to my ears as a Red Sox fan, Chris. Absolutely. All right, my last name here, again, back out to the D-backs org. Landon Sims, you know, this is a guy that obviously had Tommy John surgery and fell from, you know, maybe a top 10 pick. You know, he's been kind of discussed in that range in the 2022 draft, fell to 34th overall, signed for a little under $2.5 million. And I'm sure the D-backs were very happy to get him there. And he's recently come back. He's come back and made 4 outings. He's only pitched like an inning, you know, per outing pretty much right now. So they don't really have much, you know, many stats to go off of right now on him, but just looking at what he, you know, was before an injury and, you know, the upside that he has, fastball, slider, both, you know, look like they're going to be plus offerings. And slider is very sharp. Changeup has been, you know, it's well behind the fastball and the slider, but I think it has the makings of being at least a serviceable third pitch. And that'll be really the key there, because that fastball slider combination is so lethal and he commands both those pitches very well as well. You look at the last, well, I won't say 2 years he was at Mississippi State, because he only had 3 starts before getting hurt in his last year. But in 2021, where he was pitching out of the bullpen, actually, he didn't really move into the rotation until that last year, and to still go in the first round, like, this shows, you know, how high, you know, people are on Landon Sims, especially in the D-backs or like that 2021 season. He walked 15 batters in 56 and a third innings. That is a 7% walk rate. Struck out 100 there, so nearly 50% walk rate. And in his 3 starts before getting hurt in 2022, only had 2 walks to 27 strikeouts in 15 and two-thirds innings. So again, guy that can strike out batters at a very high clip, you know, keep the walk rate in check. And right now, I think just given the injury, that in fact that he hasn't pitched a lot, he's basically missed 15 or so months at this point, or when he came back. So the price tag is very, very low on him from what I've seen. I don't see him super high in a lot of rankings, but this is a guy that once he starts building up those innings, starts going, you know, 2, 3, 4 innings as the season progresses, and he gets kind of back, you know, further away from that injury and really building up the arm strength in the innings. So this is a guy that could really fly up rankings with his stuff, especially if that changeup comes along and it's at least like a, you know, average third offering to, you know, help him, you know, against left-handed batters. So really like some Landon Sims for sure. I think that's going to wrap us up, Chris. Anything else you wanted to add on Sims or anything?
Nope. Sounds good. It's a good list of names here. So I think these are the ones, like, you always want to get in on these players early. This is how you win in Dynasty, in my opinion, is you pick up pitching prospects, then you churn them. Like, honestly, like, that's what I would suggest doing. I pick them up, let them build hype, and then trade them for win now pieces. But these are some fun arms. Again, some arms you can get in on cheap. Maybe not Cade Horton at this point, but I think most of the others are, you can get on fairly cheap prices. And some of you maybe you'll just pick up straight off the waiver wire. So if you can do that, then I'd certainly be on board with that.
Yeah, some undervalued names, some names to buy low or maybe even sell high. So nice little mix of names here. But that is going to wrap us up for this episode. Thank you to all the listeners for tuning in again. We hope you enjoyed it. Make sure to check out both of our personal platforms for more work from both of us, and join us again next time. But until then, everyone take care.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com.